And I can go out all day and, you know, talk about digital and talk about Dectronix and what it can do for you. But at the end of the day, I really need our customers to be successful.
Hello, and welcome to the Dectronix Experience Podcast. I'm Justin Oxner here with Matt Anderson. Today, Joni Schmeichel, Strategic Manager for Dectronix Out-of-Home Business Unit, and Chaz Furman, Dectronix Out-of-Home Sales Representative, join us on the podcast to talk about digital out-of-home advertising trends. They'll also cover some things to consider from a display owner perspective and from an advertiser's perspective, as well as some fun things they've seen in the out-of-home industry. All right, today we're here with Chaz and Joni. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Can we start with a little background of each of you and how you work with Dectronix?
Sure. I'm Joni Schmeichel. I've been at Dectronix for approximately 13 years around that time frame. I've been focused on the out-of-home industry for about 7 of that, and specifically marketing. So marketing strategy for out-of-home, how are we going to position Dectronix products to the marketplace? And then alongside of that, I focus on helping our customers, media owners, generate revenue through their digital billboards or digital products that they purchase from Dectronix.
Good morning. I'm Chaz Furman. I've also been with Dectronix just over 13 years. I have spent my entire career in our out-of-home department. I started out in our service department, worked my way into account management, and currently do sales primarily out in the Northeast section of the United States and then some into Canada. I have spent a lot of my career focused on out-of-home, our goals, our values, how to make us successful, and work hand-in-hand with Joni here to help present our ad sales strategies.
I'm realizing now that we've all been at Dectronix of roughly the same amount of time. How many years have you been here?
12 years, and a half.
12 here as well. And then you said 13?
13.
Wow. Okay, fun fact. So no, I've worked with Joni before though. So at Dectronix, you haven't always been out-of-home. Like, you've been in a couple different areas of DAC, right?
I have. I spent about 5 years in mobile and modular, or others would consider it rental and staging, in that industry, marketing to that clientele as well. So, a couple different areas. I started at Dectronix in our live events group. So I spent about a year in that area as well.
I do remember when Joni started, we shared a half wall. We had the same desk location. So it's been a while.
About 12 years?
Yeah, roughly, give or take.
My desk was in an attic that's currently now storage.
In an attic.
What building number was that?
1.
Building one you were there?
Yes.
Was it in the stairs that go around to the back and have that like little balcony area?
Yes.
Okay.
So you go all the way up where there's just basically insulation on the ceiling, and they put us there when we had overflow before we started.
It's condemned
growing.
Now.
So about 90% of our audience have no idea what we're talking about, but that's really good. So, Chaz, you're in the more of, I would say, like the sales role, right? Like you're saying with out of home. Joni is involved in marketing. Kind of how do you both work together then on projects? I know I've seen you guys give presentations to customers sometimes. How do you work together?
Sure. From the marketing side, you know, my role is to understand our customers and, you know, what drives the business. So understanding the out-of-home industry in general from a worldwide perspective, and taking what we're seeing in the industry and relating those to our customers, right? How can a new buyer of digital generate revenue from that display? If it's your 100th digital display, how are you going to generate more revenue from having that large inventory? So Chaz and I kind of break that out. I take the things that I'm learning across the globe from the industry and turning that into how our customers can help generate revenue.
Right. We like to talk about, you know, how to sell your digital after the sale, right? So the first and foremost, I want to be able to meet with my clients and talk about buying a product, but then I need to make them successful so that they want to come back and they want to buy more, right? So then I'm coming in then being able to give them some industry knowledge as far as what they can do to be successful with selling their digital.
And maybe if we think about that on the front end, so that one of the most common questions we get before somebody, you know, in the out-of-home industry, or maybe they're not even in the out-of-home industry to start with. Maybe they're an entrepreneur and they own a different business, but they want to get involved and maybe put up a digital billboard in a small community. You know, who advertises on digital billboards? Who advertises in out-of-home? I really don't understand the industry. Can you help me?
Okay.
So maybe that's a good place. Sometimes we start there and we go through who we're seeing advertise, some trends that we're seeing, and
Right. We talk a lot about the growth in the industry and how the industry is growing.
So you mentioned billboards, right? And when we're talking out of home, what are some of the other applications? So billboards up on a pole, but it'd be anything even in, I don't know, it's like in a city. So what are some different applications, maybe aside from just a billboard that you see out there?
Sure. We tend to, and the industry tends to break out of home into about four different categories. So you think of your roadside, traditional roadside, that could be static or digital billboards in multiple sizes. We also consider street furniture. So walk by, drive by, lower to the ground, closer proximity type applications, bus shelters. We're also looking at smaller format billboards, which could be wallscapes, the side of a building, higher resolution type displays, and then also indoor retail environments.
And in these applications, are you seeing a lot of advertising spend going into out of home as a whole in the industry?
It's interesting. When you think of ad dollars as a whole across the U.S., I don't know what the exact number is. It's like $300 billion, right?
That's a lot.
But out-of-home only has 4% of that currently. So this year, out-of-home as a whole across the U.S. reached $8 billion, gained $8 billion of the total ad spend. So we have a long way to go, but it's continuously growing year over year, quarter over quarter. And as you think about other forms of media, and as we're all marketers, right, we think about where we're going to spend our ad dollars. If you think about traditional magazines, newspapers, radio, a lot of those are trending downward, whereas out of home is gaining momentum.
Especially TVs, right, with whether it's a DVR, people record things, or even just streaming services now. There's not a lot, I know a lot in TV spending, so it's one of those, they still got to reach people, so this is just another way to make sure they still do that.
Right. So if you think about the amount of time people are spending outside of their homes and their cars driving, you know, that's where we're getting our customer base, right? We're not sitting in front of the television anymore. And if we are sitting in front of the television, we're typically watching Netflix or one of those type of applications, right? So where are you reaching that customer? You're reaching that customer in the car. You're reaching that customer while they're driving. They're out and about. They're going to restaurants. You just look at the amount of time that people really are spending outside of their home and the amount of time that they have to be able to see this type of advertising, right? You can't turn it off, right? Yep. It's on a billboard. It's there. It's reachable.
And even in a large city where there's the walking traffic, like you mentioned, walk up to things like street furniture. It's one of those people are going to walk around, they're still going to see it. Some people walk while they're on their phone texting and run into things, but most people at least try to at least watch where they're going so they may see it up on the side of a building, right?
Right. I would say our biggest competition, too, from the out-of-home perspective would be digital online. So as we think about, you know, how many dollars, that's the highest amount in ad spend is digital online. But one thing that we talk to our customers about and that they should inform their advertisers about is the amplification effect. So if you're advertising on any other medium, whether it's online, TV, radio, newspaper, if you add out of home to that mix, it's called the amplification effect, where you're going to increase your reach exponentially, right? It varies across the board by which media, but yes, coupling any other form of advertising with out of home is kind of a no-brainer when we look at the numbers.
When it comes to digital advertising, is it a lot of the times because I know as marketers, right, we like to see maybe reports on how an ad did or something. So do you ever get that question from billboard owners? And then it's kind of the amplification, said it, amplification question come up at all? Like you have to describe that as a way to say, hey, you can't always directly measure how an ad did maybe unless it had like a call to action or something. But is it the amount of people that may come by to see it, or how do you handle those kind of questions?
Yeah, I guess a lot of that's handled through software. People do ask, and then, you know, depending on what software they have, you can proof of play reports or things like that. But it is definitely not as easy to track as maybe a report that we would get from Google Analytics or online advertising. But they're working towards that in the industry to try to simplify the process of buying out-of-home ad space and then the rate of return that you're getting from that space, too. But it is the most cost-effective form of advertising to date.
And you work in the display industry. You understand the technology a little bit better than most. So how does that help when talking to people about out of home? Like you've dropped things like the amplification effect already and talked about that a little bit. So when you're talking to these people that might be looking to get into out of home, how does understanding the technology itself help you guys?
Right. So You know, we definitely go into talking about the technology and what the technology can do for you. And our biggest thing is image quality, right? We need to be able to represent the clients that we're representing, right? So if your client is Coca-Cola, you need to be showing Coca-Cola red, not
Coca-Cola. It's an exact red. It's not just...
Right, Coca-Cola pink, right? So being able to brand themselves. You know, we also go into talking about how when you're buying on digital out of home or on just digital itself, that complements your other forms of advertising, like your static billboards, right? Digital is really time sensitive information. People really want information now. They don't want information from the past. So when we're selling things on digital, you're able to use just the programs and the analytics and things that we have built into that to be able to give time sensitive information. So, you know, there's a concert coming up this weekend. We can put that information up and we can take it down in a moment's notice, right? So we're giving them current news.
I was going to say, that's one of the things we talked about, advertising being spent in other areas like website, whatever else. But when you go up against billboards, they're static billboards. So you mentioned the one reason why you should go is you can update things right away. Do you guys find yourselves talking to a lot of customers? I'm trying to think how to ask this. It's basically if someone has a static billboard and has never had a digital billboard, that conversation is probably different than someone that has a digital billboard and wants to do another one, right? You're trying to explain, why should you go digital?
Right. So, I mean, it comes down that static and digital really complement each other. The main question that always comes up is, why would you purchase an ad or a spot on a digital versus being able to put a piece of creative up on a static display and leave it up? Okay. Right. Why do I want to share space? Well, it really comes down, again, to being able to complement yourself, right? So when you put a piece of creative up on a static display, that stays up. So you can use that to brand. And we always talk about, we use the example, the McDonald's arches, right? The Golden Arch Supper Club in my house. So you can put the Golden Arch
Supper Club.
Having little kids. So you can put the arches up, and everyone knows what that is, right? They know that's McDonald's. You can leave that up, right? So how are we going to complement that with the digital? Well, the digital wants time-sensitive information, so maybe McDonald's is offering different value meals or different menu items throughout the day. We can be able to change that. Plus, maybe it's, you know, it's March, and we're advertising the Shamrock Shake. Okay, well, after March, we need to be able to take that down, right? Current information, what their current promotions are, and so on. So being able to have them understand how that complements each other, and then also being able to have our clients understand, you know, the reasoning behind what a digital can do for you. You can actually make more money on a digital than you could on a static by using the different things that we've built into the system to be able to show, you know, different menu items, to do the day partying, to do being able to share space with other clients. You can actually charge more.
I was thinking it's one to try and sell to the billboard owner, but then another one to help them try to sell to whoever wants to advertise on that billboard. So it's like you're saying, it's not you get one spot, you're done. Depends on what time of day, you could have a different piece of graphic up there for your
right.
slot.
And I can go out all day and, you know, talk about digital and talk about Dectronics and what it can do for you. But at the end of the day, I really need our customers to be successful, right? So that's where Joni and I come in, and we talk about these ad sales and what we're seeing and how people are successful, you know. And from there, you know, our overall goal is to make them successful, make them sell out their digital display and call us back up and want another one.
And if you think about, we start out talking about the industry as a whole, and out of home itself is the oldest form of advertising, right? You think painted signs on a, you know, a brick wall, old school, right? But as we move forward and we think about, as Chaz and I talk about, how many just digital billboards are across the U.S.? Do you guys have a guess?
I'm guessing we've done more than 6,000 just from Dactronics, but that's about the only guess I've got.
If this is like a showcase showdown, I'm going to go with one. I want to win this.
It's taxi cab confessions.
Yeah. So right now, recorded, there are over 7,500.
Oh, wow.
Which is a pretty relatively a small number when you think of the number of static billboards that are out there, which is over 400,000. So thinking about how new the technology is, and a lot of advertisers haven't had the opportunity to advertise on a digital display yet. So therefore, they don't understand the features and the flexibility and how to really harness the power of it. So that's where we come in and really teach our customers how to educate the industry, how to educate advertisers on the flexibility of digital.
And with the digital technology emerging, are you seeing any trends that are coming along with it? I mean, I think we've mentioned there's the the top of mind awareness from a static ad and keeping the golden arches up there all the time versus the day parting and certain time of year special ads. Are you seeing any other trends in the digital?
Sure. Yeah. Some of the trends that we're seeing is on the content side, better and better content, right? Fewer words, easy to read messages, bright, vibrant colors. But as far as what's being displayed, we're seeing real time information. So live scores, right? Maybe it's a college football team that's in the town and they can put up live scores or a countdown to game time. Chaz talked about McDonald's. They could do what's the current temperature and relate a purchase to that, right? So pulling in feeds that would include real-time information.
We're used to that in the Midwest up here. I think McDonald's has done that special where whatever the temperature is that day, that's how much it is for your second burger.
And
so usually like
one
cent or 2 cents. Yeah.
It's really cold all the time, so you always get a free burger, a free extra burger.
Other things we're seeing as far as content or splitting time on displays. In the past, it's kind of been, you know, maybe we have 6 to 8 to 10 advertisers on one digital display, and now breaking slots out and adding more based on time of day. Think primetime TV or primetime radio slots. So breaking it out based on the data that we have on who's going by that display. Also seeing some geofencing take place. So from digital to mobile. So maybe I park my car, I pass one digital display and it has an ad specific to me. As I walk down the street, I might pass another one that's geofenced. And a day later, I get an ad on my phone, right, with a special coupon.
Those are things that people always wonder, how in the heck did they know that I was looking at this or I wanted this?
We just know.
It's like Big Brother, but not creepy at all.
One other trend we're seeing is indoor. Out of home, I think if you look on Wikipedia, is still either out of home or outdoor advertising. So that's kind of the industry stigma. It's always been outdoor, but we're seeing out of home, which is just reaching, you know, your consumer when they're out of their home.
They're not home, yeah.
But they can be inside. So
thank you for that insight, Matt.
So seeing an increase in indoor advertising displays, think transit, airports, retail environments, things like that.
When you're talking to someone for the first time that's going digital, there's this discussion we've already been talking about what kind of content, how do you part it out. Do you find yourself getting a lot of questions if someone's just not familiar with LED technology, like they don't know what an LED is? Do you guys find yourself having to explain that quite a bit? Or I don't know how like technical it gets maybe at that first discussion.
Right. So, I mean, as part of our ad sales, we always do go through Dectronix and the features of our displays itself so that they have those talking points to be able to discuss what an LED is, to discuss what an actual module is, not just a square that goes in.
A pixel pitch or anything.
And we do that because those are conversations you need to be able to also have with your clients so that they understand, you know, what kind of commitment or what type of product they're purchasing.
It also comes into play in the regulatory environment, right? So when you're looking at putting up a digital display, there's permitting and things that go along with that. So understanding the technology, you know, LightShed has come up in different conversations and, you know, thinking about how bright a display might be at night. So yes, helping our clients understand all the parameters we've set in place so that our displays perform like they should to meet those requirements, and helping them understand that and helping the community understand that.
Yeah, because if it's coming in like a residential area, there's probably going to be a lot of backlash if it's really bright at night, right, and going through people's windows as they're trying to sleep.
Right. So just, yeah, having the knowledge and about the product and the technology and being able to help our customers relay that to the community.
And you mentioned you do this globally. It's not just in North America. You're seeing this out-of-home market around the globe?
Absolutely. I would say that the trend for digital out-of-home is actually much greater in Europe. I would say that around 50% of the out-of-home displays are verging on digital, whereas about, I don't know, maybe 20 or less in the U.S. But we seem to follow that trend, right? So we'll see more and more conversion to digital as we follow the rest of the world.
And with the digital advertising, who do you see buying that advertising space? What types of companies or what kind of messages are they putting up there?
Who do you think's buying?
McDonald's.
There's got to be a difference, right? If someone has a local billboard, they're probably certain there's some people around there, which may involve national chains, but you have some customers, right, who may have multiple billboards in different locations. So how do they try to find an advertiser for all of them, or do they locally, let's say, source each one?
Right. It really varies. I mean, there's so many different models. I guess you could go with the 80-20 split or 70-30 split, where 70% would be local and then your 30% would be national buys. But it's all across the board. We've had customers sell out their entire digital ad space to one client. Some of those clients are dentists, plastic surgeons. Just really depends on the area. Other things that we're tending to see in the local community, some that might be a little bit surprising, funeral homes, humane societies, right? They're putting up the pet of the week. They're using that real time.
Aww.
I know, right? Babies and puppies.
Best performing content on a billboard.
Absolutely.
There's some stat about Super Bowl ads a while ago where people freaked out about that puppy monkey baby.
Puppy monkey baby.
And I saw at a conference, it was one of the marketing people helped with it. She had said that they did some research where it was like 70% or something of Super Bowl ads either had a puppy, monkey, or baby in it. So while it freaked everyone else out because that thing looked really weird, but they tried to combine them together for
but
that.
They weren't just 70% of ads. That was the highest performing Super Bowl ads had one of those three things in it.
Yep. You weren't there, but I think that's right.
Maybe better separate. We're going to keep our babies and puppies separate.
<There you go. laughs>
Yes, so it's a combination. I mean, we see retail is great for digital. We've seen them advertise on digital. Restaurants, bars, those have been, anything really.
So when we look at online buying also, you think of, who's buying things online? People buy cars online. If you're going to go get a hotel room, you're probably going to shop through one of the online systems.
Airbnbs, even now.
Right. Yep. So how do you get them then to advertise on your display, right? So that's where this time-sensitive information comes in. You can buy your hotel room online. You can book that for the week or whatever. But, the local hotels can start showing different things like amenities, the different things that they offer within the hotels. So, making them understand that there's different approaches to buying digital out of home and to make sure that they understand that, clients, or different people within the community are interested in different things, right? So if you go somewhere, you might be looking for a gym at the hotel where I'm looking for a water park, right? So to be able to show that they can split these things up, right? They can show different things on the digital, not just the Holiday Inn.
Yeah.
Hold on, Chaz, didn't you just move your family from one hotel to the other in a weekend because of a water park?
Right.
That was shown on a digital billboard. True.
I absolutely did. It offered a lifeguard and a poolside bar.
All the things that people are looking for right there.
So, I mean, case in point right there, right? I saw the ad. We were at a different hotel. And I thought, if we're going to stay another night, I'm going to move us to the other one. I didn't know that there was another one. I was price shopping, right, online for prices. But I was willing to spend a little extra money to get us to a different hotel that offered the amenities that fit my family. Right.
And I think that's one of the parts you're saying, like you maybe didn't expect to see that for that hotel. But when it comes to out-of-home advertising, right, it's sometimes just, I wouldn't say catching people off guard, but it's making them see something that they probably weren't thinking about. Whereas you go online, you usually have an intent, I'm going to search for this. But maybe out-of-home is more like interrupt-driven advertising kind of?
Absolutely. I was driving the other day on the interstate, and I have my 4.5-year-old son in the back. I have to say 4.5, not just 4, because he's pretty particular about it. But he's in the back seat with his iPad, headphones on, watching a show, right? And I'm like, he's zoned out. And all of a sudden, he whips off his headphones. He's like, Mom, did you see that girl? And I'm like, what girl on the side of the road? Like, what did I miss? Right? But he was talking about a billboard with a character from a movie that he likes, Wonder Park, right?
Okay.
He took off his headphones, pointed at her, remembered it, and I'm like, I don't know who that was, buddy. He's like, Wonder Park, Mom, can we watch it? So yes, it works.
And the next thing you know, you bought Wonder Park and you went home and that's what you did the rest of the night.
Absolutely.
I guarantee it was downloaded on the iPad before she even got home.
So how effective it is, it was able to reach a 4.5-year-old kid with headphones and an iPad traveling in a car. That's it.
You'd think he's zoned out, but no, even with the technology right in front of him, he still looked up and saw the character on a billboard.
Right. We talk about, you know, common advertisers on digital billboards. We go through that with our customers who we're seeing advertise, but we also talk about how they get new clientele, new advertisers that maybe wouldn't traditionally advertise on a digital. So how do you go about having that conversation? And at Daktronics, we kind of brainstorm within our group and think of, you know, campaigns and some different content pieces that might be a little bit outside of the box. And one that we came up with not too long ago was an anti-Valentine's Day campaign. Right. So who are your typical advertisers on Valentine's Day? Florists, candy shops, I don't know, hotels, restaurants, things
jewelry
like that.
Jewelry stores.
Jewelry stores, yes, that's a big one. So how would you expand your reach to get advertisers on your display that wouldn't typically advertise? We came up with anti-Valentine's Day, right? And this one crossed the bounds a little bit, but it's okay to drink alone. Find your local liquor store or maybe somebody that sells alcohol, right? Dinner for one, a different take on restaurants offering a table for one. Or dump your ex's drunk, right? take your ex's junk to the local consignment store. So getting other people involved and making advertisements memorable, that helps you gain more advertisers on your display.
Yeah, I'd say that was definitely something unexpected to come across on a advertisement there.
We should have won the OBs for that.
We didn't enter.
You have to enter to win? This is weird. So when people are signing up for out of home and trying to get on these digital displays, are there any things that they just go head first and don't think about? Or are there things that they should be thinking about after they sign up that might not be top of mind right away?
Right, so I think a lot of thought goes into the location of the display, as it should, right? What's the traffic count? Mm-hmm. I think a lot of thought does go into, you know, how am I going to make money on this display? How am I going to pay it off? What's my ROI, right? My rate of return, and when am I going to start making profit? And all of that does really tie into ad sales and how you position your board. I think something that is often overlooked is marketing themselves. So thinking about maybe they have static inventory that's been up on a website for a long time and advertisers know that they have that, but digital is a bit different, right? We talked about how you have to educate the advertiser on what the flexibility of digital is and how they can benefit from that. So really overlooking, I might need a different section on my website that explains my digital inventory versus my static. Or how do I get up on that display if I'm an advertiser? Who do I contact? Does it say Daktronics on the side? Do I call them? Yes, they call us. They want to know how to advertise on your display, right? So having maybe self-promotion on an empty slot, thinking about PR in your community, letting the community know that you're putting up a digital billboard and what it can do, showing community alerts, things like that. So I think just maybe the overall marketing effort is overlooked on, I guess that's my focus. So that's what I think about. Chaz?
So I think, you know, when we're talking to customers, we like to discuss with them that we want to turn their display into a landmark. We want people to look for information on that display, right? So being able to talk to them about how to do that, right? Is that to put different pieces of creative up? Is that to show time and temp? What kind of information are we showing that we're reaching the most clients that are driving by that display that gives that information that they're needing, right? So I always give an example too, like every time I leave my house in the morning and I'm driving to work, I have a clock in front of me, right? I have a clock in my car. I have a cell phone that tells me the time. But every day when I drive by the bank here in town, I look up and I see the time, which always tells me that I'm late for work. Never changes. But it's a landmark. My eyes are driven to it, right? So being able to explain to these clients that you don't just have to put up 8 pieces of creative, right? We have an ad grid that's built into our software system that allows you to easily split that time, right? And to be able to set it up where it's affordable, right? They come in and they start talking about how much am I going to sell this for? Well, not everyone can afford, you know, arbitrary numbers, $5,000 for a piece of creative to go up for a month, right? So we can divide that out and we can share it. And by sharing time doesn't mean, you know, necessarily that you're not going to be seen. It's like TV and how you're scheduling it, right? You have prime time in the morning when people are driving by. You maybe can charge a little bit more for that because the traffic on the road is a little heavier than maybe at 10 o'clock a.m., right? But we can then trigger through that ad grid to be able to show that information that's basically time sensitive for them. In the morning, what do you want to see, right? I'm more likely to stop at Starbucks in the morning if I see a Starbucks ad as I'm driving by. That's what I'm thinking about at that time, right? Before lunch, I'm thinking about what I'm going to have for lunch, where I'm going to go for lunch. Around 4 or 5 p.m., I'm thinking about what I'm going to do after work, happy hour, where am I going to meet my friends, right? And then later on, I'm thinking about dinner. So being able to split that up, and you can do that by time, you can do that by percentage. There's so many different ways that we can show you through the system that does that for you.
You mentioned so the split up different graphics, and I'm thinking back at a comment earlier that Joni made too was, when content goes up on a board, you want to make sure it's clear, not too many words, it's vivid. How do you handle that? So when a billboard owner has it, they obviously want to make sure that everyone's ads, when they show up on there, look good, they do what they want. Do they give their advertisers these guidelines, or maybe that's where we come in, to say, hey, here's some general like rules or principles that you should do when creating it, and then do those companies make it themselves and send to them, or how does that whole creation work so it doesn't look like completely different billboards every time a new ad comes up?
Good point, Matt. Yes, creative, you know, I guess the old adage goes content is king, right? Mm-hmm. So no matter how much data I have on the clientele that's passing by the displays, no matter how high the traffic count is that's going by the display, if I can't read the ad, it's not effective. So it's a huge part of what we promote too. We have different guides. We have guides. We have best practices. We go through it with our clients, and we go as far to say, you know, if you get poor content from one of your advertisers and you don't want to be the bad person, right, and tell them, no, that's horrible
content.
That's
what I'm thinking of, is right? Like, hey, try again.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to put that up on the display, sorry, but I really want your money. So so we go as far as to say, like, hey, send Dactronix the content. We have a group of people that creates content all across the board, right? For professional sports teams, for billboards, for message displays, right? We have this group in house that can take that poor piece of content, recreate it, and offer some advice, right? So that, you know, the media owner isn't always the bad person saying, hey, that content really isn't great. But yeah, so we offer that, and then we go through best practices as well, and we offer that to our customers or any of their advertisers as well.
Right. So creating creative for an LED display is different than creating creative for a static display.
Okay.
So, you know, you don't go to school for that. They don't teach you in college how to create. So, you know, we've got a whole guideline book that we put together that we send out, but that is definitely something that comes up quite a bit in the sales process, is who's going to create this for you, right? And that's why we've gone as far as having online templates that you can pull, having a group here at Dactronix that can assist you with that. And then, you know, just we have people within the industry that will help them get started and start creating some of that creative. Because a number of times what you have is, even with national buys, they just send over a piece of creative. Well, that piece of creative was probably created for a static display. Right. So how are we going to take that, use our design principles, and be able to show them, you know, what's going to look good on the digital, what's going to show their colors correctly, and what's going to be seen?
That's kind of one of those things. I'm thinking back on a previous podcast episode we had with Jerry Shaw, too, where he talked about they don't teach you how to make content for LED displays. And he talked about it was stadiums and arenas, like long ribbon boards. Like sometimes there's aspect ratios that you don't really ever have to make stuff for. So definitely making content for LEDs is a lot different than for a website or TV or something like that.
And for out of home, I'm thinking places like Times Square, where they have multiple billboards that are different sizes all working together for like the same ad or a takeover moment. They're creating the same look of a creative piece for multiple different displays to work in conjunction with one another.
Absolutely. And Times Square is a little bit different beast, right? And they're creating, you know, different aspect ratios. And sometimes the same content can be used for multiple sizes of displays. And you can do that within the software and just size those very easily. But
right.
Sometimes you can't, right? So thinking about that ahead of time and having the appropriate content. I think one simple example that we give as far as content goes is, if you'd imagine a static billboard ad, you know, you want to put everything up on that display: web address, phone number, email. Personal, I don't know, everything, right? Everything goes up on that billboard because it's going to be up there for 6 months and they just can't possibly think about leaving anything out, right? Mm-hmm. But the flexibility of digital allows you to create multiple pieces of content that each have one message. So we always use the zoo as an example. They have lots of different exhibits. They have lots of performances, things like that. Lots of messages that they want to get out. I want to see the naughty monkeys. Chaz wants to see the tigers, right? So breaking those things out so that we can see the different amenities and the different messages that they're offering. So instead of one piece of content that has everything, make six and rotate them through.
It's like it has everything or it's so vague that it just speaks to the zoo in general where it really, and we always say it, like it doesn't influence anyone if you're just trying to cover all your bases in one post.
Right. And you can do this through a template, right? And we can show you how to do that to make you more successful. And it's not that you're buying more slots. You can have one slot and rotate through different pieces of creative.
And we're talking about the Times Square is a different beast and takeover. We were talking before the podcast started, but what, there was a thing that they did with the Grinch, right, when the movie came out, where they actually got that on multiple displays?
Yeah, there's been a few different examples. So the Grinch was awesome. We were actually in Times Square and got to see that firsthand, nice. And it was very impressive. Yeah, so you can't miss that, right? The Grinch is everywhere, and they had a very creative campaign for the Grinch, too, which was awesome. But another one that was just released was the Kylie Jenner makeup brushes,
yes.
That showed up all over across the U.S. too, Times Square and beyond. So,
and it sold out in seconds, right?
And it sold out in seconds, and they were able to change the content then to say sold out, sorry, come back later, right? So it's immediate, it's real time, that's how people want to see it. And the industry as a whole is making progress towards making it easier for people to buy out-of-home space, kind of like you would buy digital online. So we're seeing some changes there that are coming that'll make it easier too.
I kind of wondered that too. So obviously when it's different displays in Times Square or across the country, like you said, there's multiple different building owners, different people on that. So is it the people that the movie production of The Grinch, like they come and say, hey, we want to get as many billboards as we can in this area, even though all you are, I wouldn't say competitors, but they all have different displays in the same area that they're trying to use to get people's attention. I'm always curious on how do you actually pull off a big moment like that?
Right. Oftentimes, I think they go through an agency. Oh, right. So then the agency is responsible for current state, calling all of those different owners, the different media owners, right? Unless they're on an online buying platform, which is coming to fruition here. Programmatic is a big topic throughout the industry where, you know, I could go online and see all of the displays that are available in New York City on the date that I want, that reach the target audience that I want, and I can give my budget and just click through and send out my content, and it's wonderful, right? Mm-hmm. We're not quite there yet, but it will be there soon. So I think we're making some great progress, and that will help build that 4% up to a much higher number of the entire ad revenue that we're getting.
Yeah, so from Times Square to billboards along highways, digital out of home is everywhere. If I'm looking to get into digital out of home, what's something that I should think about?
You should think about doing it now. the out-of-home industry is a really exciting place to be. It's growing like crazy. As we talked about with the programmatic and online buying, we see demand expectations increasing in the future too. So thinking about what is out-of-home, right? Traditionally thought of as outdoor or roadside billboards is really expanding into different areas. So of course roadside, but thinking about street furniture as urban environments grow. I think by 2050 they say urban environments will house 70% of the population. Thinking about what that will do for digital displays and out of home and indoor. So thinking about airports, retail, I mean, it's really expanding. So it'd be a great time to get into out of home.
And if I wanted to talk to you for more information or a one-on-one chat, how would I reach out to you?
Sure. You just would want to visit the Dectronics website, Dectronics.com. From there, we break it out into markets. You can go into out of home. You can check out our product lines that we offer. Has availability to sign up for an ad sales presentation. Joni and I give a full-on ad sales presentation that's catered to yourself. That is free. That is something that we do for the industry. So you can sign up there, and we'd be happy to reach back out to you and get that scheduled. You can follow our blog.
You can find both of us on LinkedIn as well.
All right. And we'll put some links in the show notes to make it easier for people to find you. But great conversation. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Daktronics Experience Podcast. For more information, visit www.daktronics.com.